"Well," said the landlord, fetching a long breath, "that's a pretty long sermon for a chap that rips a little now and then. But be easy, be easy. This here harpooner I've been telling you of has just arrived from the South Seas, where he bought up a lot of balmed New Zealand heads. Great curios, you know. And he sold all of them but one. And that one he's trying to sell tonight, 'cause tomorrow's Sunday, and it would not do to be selling human heads about the streets when folks is going to churches. He wanted to last Sunday, but I stopped him just as he was going out the door with four heads strung on a string for all the earth like a string of onions." This account cleared up the otherwise unaccountable mystery, and showed that the landlord, after all, had had no idea of fooling me. But at the same time, what could I think of a harpooner who stayed out of a Saturday night clean into the Holy Sabbath, engaged in such a cannibal business as selling the heads of dead idolaters? Depend upon it, landlord, that harpooner is a dangerous man.
"He pays regular," was the rejoinder. "But come, it's getting dreadful late. You'd better be turning flukes. It's a nice bed. Sal and me slept in that air bed the night we were spliced. There's plenty room for two to kick about in that bed. It's an almighty big bed, that. Why, afore we give it up, Sal used to put our Sam and little Johnny in the foot of it. But I got a dreamin' and sprawlin' about one night, and somehow Sam got pitched on the floor and came near to breakin' his arm. Arter that, Sal said it wouldn't do. Come along here, I'll give you a glim in a jiffy." And so saying, he lighted a candle and held it towards me, offering to lead the way.
But I stood irresolute, when, looking at a clock in the corner, he exclaimed,
"I've on with Sunday. You won't see that harpooner tonight. He's come to anchor somewhere. Come along, then. Do come. Won't you come?"
I considered the matter a moment, and then upstairs we went, and I was ushered into a small room, cold as a clam, and furnished, sure enough, with a prodigious bed, almost big enough, indeed, for any four harpooners to sleep abreast.
"There," said the landlord, placing the candle on a crazy old sea chest that did double duty as a washstand and center table. "There, make yourself comfortable now, and good night to you."
I turned around from eyeing the bed, but he had disappeared. Folding back the counterpane, I stooped over the bed. Though none of the most elegant, it yet stood the scrutiny tolerably well. I then glanced round the room, and besides the bedstead and center table could see no other furniture belonging to the place but a rude shelf, the four walls, and a papered fireboard representing a man striking a whale. Of things not properly belonging to the room, there was a hammock lashed up, and thrown upon the floor in one corner also a large seaman's bag, containing the harpooner's wardrobe, no doubt in lieu of a land trunk. Likewise, there was a parcel of outlandish bone fish hooks on the shelf over the fireplace, and a tall harpoon standing at the head of the bed. But what is this on the chest? I took it up and held it close to the light, and felt it, and smelt it, and tried every way possible to arrive at some satisfactory conclusion concerning it. I can compare it to nothing but a large doormat, ornamented at the edges with little tinkling tags, something like the stained porcupine quills round an Indian moccasin. There was a hole or slit in the middle of this mat, as you see the same in South American ponchos. But could it be possible that any sober harpooner would get into a doormat and parade the streets of any Christian town in that sort of guise? I put it on to try it, and it weighed me down like a hamper, being uncommonly shaggy and thick, and I thought a little damp, as though this mysterious harpooner had been wearing it of a rainy day. I went up in it to a bit of glass stuck against the wall, and I never saw such a sight in my life. I tore myself out of it in such a hurry that I gave myself a kink in the neck. I sat down on the side of the bed and commenced thinking about this head-peddling harpooner and his doormat. After thinking some time on the bedside, I got up and took off my monkey jacket and then stood in the middle of the room thinking. I then took off my coat and thought a little more in my shirt sleeves. But beginning to feel very cold now, half undressed as I was, and remembering what the landlord said about the harpooner's not coming home at all that night, it being so very late, I made no more ado but jumped out of my pantaloons and boots, and then, blowing out the light, tumbled into bed and commended myself to the care of heaven.